Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Global Ports Holding 2016 second quarter results conference call. I now hand over to your host, Ms. Aslı Suata, Investor Relations Director. Madam, please go ahead.
Thank you, Ayan. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our second quarter 2016 results conference call. This is Aslı Suata from Investor Relations, and today the whole management is present here to handle your questions and give you an insight about the quarter itself. Today's presenters are the CEO, Mr. Emre Sayın, and the CFO, Ms. Ferda Aldır. I'm leaving the ground to Emre Bey.
Hi, everyone. I will start by giving a summary of Q2 and go over the results. Then we will also give you some update on how half one 2016 is going. I will leave the floor to Ferda Hanım to talk about some details and also maybe give you some feedback on our financial situation in terms of debt and other measures. Q2 is not our highest season, but it's when things start to pick up, especially in the cruise business. This year, however, especially in the Eastern Mediterranean area, in Turkey, there was a lot of tension, which actually culminated with the Istanbul Airport explosion at the end of the quarter. We are seeing the effects of that in the volumes. Volume numbers for the cruise line business, for the cruise business. Due to the cancellations in the Turkish ports, and also due to some investigations in the Chinese ports, which we will get into later on, we've seen a 7.2% drop year-on-year in passenger numbers and about a 10% drop in the TEU numbers. These numbers I'm talking about are pro forma basis, so it's actually comparing apples for apples because of the Valetta acquisition. However, when we look at the revenue numbers, we are actually seeing a better picture. We are, in terms of revenues, we are up in Q2 by about 4.3%, again, pro forma figures. If we actually look at the actual numbers in revenues, we are up 15.7% in Q2. This, I think, shows the resilience of our business, and it shows that even in quite challenging situations, the business is performing well. Comparatively, the cruise revenues are growing 6.8% and 1.7% on a pro forma basis, and 31.8% and again, 1.7% on an actual basis. The EBITDA numbers, I think, are looking even better. Our segmental EBITDA on a pro forma basis is growing 10.7% QoQ, and actual numbers show 19.2% growth. When we look at consolidated EBITDA numbers, pro forma basis, 11.2% growth, and actual numbers show 20% growth in EBITDA in Q2 of 2016. Let me talk a little bit about the half-year numbers, H1. How do these figures reflect into H1 numbers? In terms of passengers, because Q1 was performing better, The decline in pro forma figures is only 3.7%, and year-on-year, the growth is 11.2%. And in general cargo, we are down 19% and 3.5% for the TEU throughput numbers. This reflects onto the revenue numbers as a 2.8% growth in pro forma basis and 12% growth on revenue basis, actual for H1. The cruise revenue growth is 5.5%, and segmental EBITDA grows 7.3% on a pro forma basis, which is actually 14% or 13.8% for actual figure comparison. When we look at the consolidated EBITDA figures, H1 growth for GPH is 7.9% on a pro forma basis, and actual numbers show 14.8% growth in terms of overall EBITDA. So again, summarizing what I just said, tough quarter in terms of both the cruise business because of what's happening in Eastern Med, especially Turkey, and some problems on the commercial front because of marble exports mostly, but relatively better numbers in terms of revenue growth and even better numbers in terms of EBITDA growth. I also want to add one more thing about the cruise decline, the cruise numbers in Q2, or actually H1. If you flip over to page number 6, what we have done is we have compared our numbers to in Turkey to the port numbers in general, and what we have seen is as the Turkish ports are declining 56% in H1 2016 in terms of number of passengers, GPH ports in Turkey only decline about half of that, 26.6%. And we think this is due to mainly due to world-class security measures and also excursion choices and revenue generation choices for cruise lines in Kuşadası and Ege ports. So this basically concludes my summary part about Q2 and H1. I now want to give the microphone to Ferda Hanım to basically underline the reason why we have performed better in EBITDA in relation to maximizing revenue and in terms of EBITDA creation.
First of all, hello to everybody. And let me go over the Q2 numbers. Before me, Emre Bey mentioned the market conditions, so I will explain the how challenging environment affected our Q2 numbers. Total cruise revenue, total revenue was realized $52.7 million compared to previous years. It's higher than realized and pro forma respectively 12% and 2.8%. In first half realization of cruise revenue was realized $22.4 million. Commercial revenue was $30.3 million. Although the decrease of the cruise passenger approximately 4%, cruise revenue increased approximately 12% comparing with the 2015 numbers. Considering the Malta, comparing the apple-apple, we have still a 2.8% increase in cruise revenue side. Also, commercial revenue is slightly approximately 1% higher than the previous figures. Last year it was $31 million. Segmental EBITDA is $34.4 million. It was 30.2 million US dollar last year and 32.1 million US dollar pro forma basis, which indicates a 13.8% increase and 7.3% increase respectively. An EBITDA margin is 65.2%, slightly higher than the 2015 result. It was the 64.2 last year. First half consolidated EBITDA is 32.5 million US dollar. Margin is the 61.6%. Despite the mentioned challenging environment, GPH managed to maximize revenue EBITDA creation, registering the highest first half ever in terms of revenue and EBITDA. The reason behind this, for example, Barcelona. Barcelona increased share of turnaround passenger in total passenger mix. Tariff flexibility at the operational ports due to underlying concessions. 14% depreciation of TL against the US dollar. In Turkey operations, 70% of the costs are TL. A depreciation of TL affected our financial in a positive way, especially EBITDA level. Tariff adjustments, and thanks to Valletta Cruz Port acquisition. There are the main reasons behind the highest first ever results. We can say that as a GPH management managed to convert some negative developments into a positive impact in terms of revenue and EBITDA level. And net debt to EBITDA increased 3.8% from the 3.3%. Net debt to EBITDA increased 3.8 times from the 3.3 times, mainly due to dividend distribution. According to bond covenants, gross debt to EBITDA should be less than 5, GPH leverage 4.2 times.
Okay. So, thank you very much. So Ferda Hanım basically summarized how we were able to realize this EBITDA creation and EBITDA growth in H1, and also gave us some indication about the net debt to EBITDA ratio. So at this point, I think it's a good time to get your questions if you have any.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we have our first question. We have a question from Lois de Robert from Avicium. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. This is Loic from Aventicum. Thanks for the call and for taking my question. I have three questions, if I may. Your passenger numbers in Turkey dropped 26.6% in first half. Can you give us some color as to how this is going in July? Is the trend similar? Is the drop July on July versus last year in the mid-20s, or is it worse?
Okay, so you want us to answer your first question first, right?
Yes, please.
Okay. As you know, in July, mid-July, we had an attempt of coup in Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
So the situation stabilized very quickly afterwards. The impact in international media is, of course, it's echoing to a certain extent still. We have we have seen basically the continuation of the cancellations, we are because the situation is stabilized now, we are hoping that the situation will get better towards the end of this year.
Okay. All right. On your valet port operation, it seems that margin has been improving year on year. It's about 50% now. Do you expect it to increase further to reach what you achieve at other ports in the 60s?
So you're right in your observation. I think the reason why profitability has been going up has to do with the fact that the turnaround mix in Valletta cruise ports has been going up, and because you know this trend is still there, we expect the average numbers to remain high throughout the remainder of this year.
So you expect margin to increase further?
Yes, we do, until the end of this year. Because the impact of increased turnaround ratio is increasing EBITDA numbers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Turning to your ports operation, you had a 6% decline from Jan to June, but a 8% growth from Jan to May 16 year on year. And so what is the drop in June? I mean, I calculate the number 13%, but I think it could be actually more than that.
Yes, that's correct. We had a big drop in June, and we basically we think this has to do with the fact that Chinese officials started an investigation regarding marble imports, and they were especially concentrated on high-priced marble, which is very popular in China. They call it basically Ottoman beige by the color, and this the majority of the exports to China is actually concentrated in the area of our hinterland. And because of this investigation, mid-sized and small-sized Chinese firms having a problem getting letters of credit, and although the big ones are still continuing their imports into China, there was a big drop in our numbers, which is only now starting to stabilize.
Okay, but what was the drop in June?
The drop in June was, I believe, around 47%.
47%, okay.
Yes.
And so you're saying
so
that things
are... sudden. Yeah, it was very sudden, and we are now seeing the numbers go up again, and we'll probably... This month, we probably expect numbers to be in line with our budget numbers.
It's still in August. You're still below budget in August. That's what you're saying. Okay. But
yes.
Things have stabilized.
They seem to be, but I think it's still too early to say. We have to see a couple more months.
Okay. And one last question, if I may, on Port of Adria. You said that the situation is temporary, but you had a drop in cargo volumes due to a temporary situation. But my question is, how temporary is that situation?
Okay, so the situation in the drop of the numbers in Adria is basically due to a steel coil factory operation in Serbia. This was a very large portion of cargo volumes, and the factory ceased operation. Then it was acquired by a Chinese firm, and they have started their operations, but unfortunately they are not back up to the volumes that they were doing before. So that's why it was indicated that we expect this to be a temporary situation. However, it's not something that will probably be normalized in 1 or 2 months. We expect to for it to take a bit longer, because basically this is a stopped operation which started now under a Chinese company, and they are slowly increasing their amounts. What we have done in the first half is, although we couldn't rectify the situation in terms of volume, we have found other projects to make up for the loss of revenues with other revenues, and these were mostly projects that were related to infrastructure projects, and they were quite low in terms of volume but high in terms of value. So that's how we compensated the revenues.
Okay. All right. That's it for me. Thank you.
Our next question is from Sergio Calci from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the presentation. I just had a quick question on the Chinese investigation. I know you just explained it, but I didn't quite get it. Could you just explain, first of all, why the investigation was launched, and secondly, how this impacted your operations?
So this was an investigation launched in China for all imports of marble into China, because they were suspecting that the value of marble was being under-recorded in invoices. So basically, it's something that affected all marble imports into China, but for high value products the impact was more.
And how did that impact how did that affect your numbers at your port of Venice?
It basically, I think when something like this happens, the whole chain breaks, when companies can't find enough when they cannot find letters of credit for their ongoing business, the trade stops. So that's what we think happened in June. Of course, the construction business in China did not stop. It's still ongoing. The demand for marble has not gone down. We think this is something that hit us temporarily, and when the investigation is finalized and when everything goes back to normal, the marble trade will continue. That's our expectation.
Great, thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. Our next question is from Prakash Tombirai from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Just a question regarding, I guess, overall strategy. I recognize that a lot of the impacts of this quarter seem to be driven by temporary effects, be it the Chinese marble situation or perhaps the behavior of cruise passengers in the domestic market. Just curious if any of these events, in aggregate, are causing the company to rethink any of the existing sort of pillars terms of strategy that you've articulated in a more material basis, or is it sort of a kind of continuation of business as usual?
Yeah, so let me answer this in two dimensions. One, for this year, we are basically compensating the losses from, for example, in cruise from other ports, and we are, you know, after other projects, whatever. So we're keeping our forecast for the year. In the long term, this is not actually against our strategy. Our strategy basically was to continue diversification for the company, meaning becoming more international, focusing on different geographical regions, decreasing the impact or the ratio of commercial in our business, and basically hedging our risks. And I think the current events showed us how correct that strategy was, and it just, I think, gives us more energy to continue down that path. That's what I can say.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Our next question is from Tunç Yorgancıoğlu from 3C Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Sure. Thank you, MRA, for the presentation, for taking the questions as well. I just want to elaborate further on the Marvel and the commercial port situation. Well, meaning first, do you know the current situation with this investigation? I mean, is it completed now, or is it going to go on for the extent of 2016? And in light of that, I mean, I know you said that you're going to keep with the budget for the whole operation. But for the commercial operation as a standalone, do you think the budget will be there, or will there be a shortfall for the commercial operations?
So we project, or we assume that the worst of it is behind us. That the thing must have been concluded, because we see that our numbers are picking up again. As to the budget for the commercial ports, the teams are working very hard right now to find replacements for the last, for these 2 months, basically. And this can be, like I said, in new projects, project cargo, or in cost optimization opportunities. We are basically focusing on hitting our EBITDA numbers for the year. We have not made any changes to that.
Okay. And as far as I understand, the investigation is still going on, but it just slowed down a bit, or the people have solved their issues, importers, if they had any.
But, I mean, we don't have very detailed information about the investigation in China, because, like, basically we don't have any contact with the Chinese government. But what we can see is the impact, what we can see is the, let's say, the after effects of the investigation. Either the investigation was concluded and things are getting back to normal, or these mid-sized and small-sized companies are finding other ways of getting letters of credit. And I have also heard news, for example, that they're using other banks, like Greek banks and stuff like that. So, trade always finds a path. That's what I know. And I think what concerns us is that trade is basically continuing, and it seems to be doing that.
Okay. Okay, thanks a lot.
We have a following question from Sergio Calci from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, the question was already answered, so I have nothing to ask.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we have further questions. We have a question from Alexander Ayoub from Waha Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Just in relation to the West Mediterranean business, do you see any decrease in the level of passengers there, like either cancellations or less bookings on the back of the terrorist attacks you had in Western Europe, especially in Nice, for example? So I wonder whether you're not only hit in the East Med, but also on the West Med in the short to medium term. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. No, we're not seeing any drop in the number of passengers in West Med. One thing I probably forgot to mention, thank you for reminding me that, is some of the cancellations that, of course, we follow cancellations very, very closely. And some of the cancellations, we've seen them shipped to Valletta and Barcelona, for example, in the same itinerary. So they're moving from one port of ours and hitting two other ports of ours. So that's kind of giving us some view of how we are actually being able to, how we are actually able to hedge within Mediterranean. And I think that's also giving us some hope for the future.
And just, sorry, like most of the passengers, where are they from? Are they from mainly the United States or from Europe?
Mostly Europeans. There are also Americans. We still haven't seen the promised Asian populations yet, but hopefully they will come in the future. But yeah, it's mostly, I would say the majority are of course, European passengers.
And you haven't seen any decrease in bookings, for example, after the Brexit?
Not at all. No, I mean, anyone?
No.
No one here has seen any effects after the Brexit. As far as we can tell,
okay,
that didn't have any effect.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. We have no further questions. Dear speakers, back to you for the conclusion. We have no further questions. Dear speakers, back to you for the conclusion.
Okay, thank you very much. For the conclusion, I have to say that I'm new to this business, but I think what I'm seeing right now, I think my friends will agree with me that it's almost like a perfect storm, a couple of storms coming together this quarter. What makes me really proud is that this company has been able to still delivering these conditions, and the numbers look, I think you would agree that they look quite good compared to the previous years, and we are still keeping our plan, hitting our budgets. What's also helping us, and this is also part of our strategy, is the additional revenues that we are getting from our operations, such as retail revenues or the advertising revenues that we are focusing on right now, is helping us do exactly that. If you look at the Turkish ports, that's been the story because if you just look at the number of cancellations, the results should have been much worse. So we are compensating for some of that in the Turkish ports, and the rest we are picking up from our other regions within Mediterranean. So basically, I'm very proud to be part of this team and really, really happy about the resilience of the business. This gives us time to adjust and time to find ways of compensating. So I guess what's left to say, something that we didn't discuss in this call, is basically our strategy to grow inorganically and to increase the number of ports in the GPH portfolio via acquisitions and mergers. And one, you know, good news that we got this quarter is the finalization of the Venice project. We are now, together with very large cruise lines and the airport operator of Venice, we are now in the position to manage Venice, which is the second biggest port in Europe. And this acquisition gives us, I think it increases our depth as well as our breadth in our operations in Europe. And we are also looking into a number of new acquisitions, be it in Europe or elsewhere in the world, and diligently working on improving our footprint. Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.